But first, have you ever wondered if you might be a psychopath? You'd be in good company. Psychologist Kevin Dutton says some of the most successful people in the world are psychopaths, and they don't eat their dinner guests either. Dutton's the author of The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success. He tells Steve Paulson the word psychopath is largely misunderstood.
No sooner is the word psychopath out than images of Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, and a whole list of discreditable politicians come kind of scything across the badlands of our minds. But you know what? Being a psychopath doesn't automatically mean you're a criminal. And it doesn't mean you're a serial killer either. In fact, a lot of psychopaths aren't even in prison, Steve. They're out there locking other people up. Now, why is that? Well, when psychologists talk about psychopaths, we're talking about a person with a distinct set of personality characteristics, things like ruthlessness, like fearlessness, charm, manipulation ability, focus, and extreme coolness under pressure, as well as a lack of empathy and a lack of conscience. Now, notice that I never mention violence in amongst that lot, okay? Now, if you happen to have those personality characteristics, and you also happen to be violent and stupid, then, to be perfectly honest, your prospects aren't going to be that great. You're going to end up as a low-level criminal or an enforcer for a criminal gang or something like that. Either way, you're going to wind up in prison pretty quickly. But now imagine you've got those kinds of personality characteristics, but you are not naturally violent and you are intelligent. Now it's a different story altogether. Now you're more likely, as the famous Reuters headline once put it, to be more likely to make a killing in the market than anywhere else.
I suppose we could then look at lots of people at the top of their professions. I mean, not just day traders, but they could be lawyers, surgeons, CEOs. It sounds like those qualities that you just described might serve these kinds of people very well.
Steve, you've hit the nail right on the head there, mate, actually. And I'll give you some documentary evidence for that. Last year in 2011, I launched the Great British Psychopath Survey. Now, participants were directed onto my website where they completed the Levinson Self-Report Scale of Psychopathy. It's a standardized psychometric test which measures psychopathy characteristics within the general population. And what I wanted to find out was what was the most psychopathic profession in the UK. So as well as actually getting their score, feedback on their scores, participants actually entered their employment details, what kind of job they did, how much money they earned over the course of a year. And we got over 5,500 respondees to that survey. And when I looked at the analysis, when I looked at the data at the end, the results really were an eye-opener. I mean, of course, you had at the top of the tree, the most psychopathic professions were your CEOs. They, in fact, were number one. But I have to say it to you, pal, number two was media, radio and TV, actually. Journalism was down around, I think, about number six or number seven. So there you go. You've got a lot to answer for. But really interesting was round about number seven or eight were the clergy. Now, that was a real eye-opener. But I've spoken to a lot of people since, and perhaps we shouldn't be so surprised. The bottom line is that any kind of profession where you've got a power structure, where you've got an organisational hierarchy, when there's the chances of wielding control and power over other people, then you're going to get psychopaths doing very well in that particular kind of milieu.
It seems like there's kind of a paradox here, because you're saying one of the qualities of psychopaths is they tend to be charmers. They can win people over, partly by the force of their personality, and yet another quality would seem to be a total lack of empathy. And yet, if you have people skills, usually you have empathy along with that.
You got it. Now, one of the really interesting things there, I always remember interviewing a psychopath a few years back, and he said, you know what, you don't need to have color vision in order to know how a traffic light works, okay? You don't need to see the red or the green. All you need to do is know which bits are lit up, and then you can act accordingly. Now, what we know about psychopaths is there's two different kinds of empathy, Steve. You've got what's called a cold empathy, and you've got a hot empathy. Now, cold empathy is to do with reasoning and rational thought. Hot empathy I describe as the feeling of feeling what another person is feeling. Okay, so psychopaths, it's true, don't have the hot empathy. They don't feel what you're feeling, but they have a cold empathy. They are very, very good at cognitively and dispassionately gauging what you might be feeling. And that allows them to be able to push the psychological buttons that really kind of get the rest of us going with relative impunity. reality. And that's what makes them very, very good persuaders.
Well, it sounds like you're saying then that most of us have some qualities of the psychopath. It's just not to the extreme that the true psychopaths, I mean, the killers that we hear about would have.
Absolutely right, Steve. Again, you've absolutely hit the nail right on the head. And now an analogy that I use for this, one of the reasons that I wrote the book in the first place is to debunk the myth that being a psychopath is an all or nothing affair. You're either a psychopath or you're not. Now, those characteristics of the psychopath that I mentioned to you earlier, so we've got charm, persuasiveness, ruthlessness, fearlessness, focus, lack of empathy and conscience. Imagine those characteristics as being the dials on a studio mixer. Desk, okay? Now, they can be twiddled up and down in various combinations. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out where this one's heading. If you twiddle all those dials up to max, you overload the setting and you wind up getting 30 years inside. You blow the circuit, okay? However, if you turn some of them up high and some of them down low, depending on the circumstances, you become, in other words, as I say, a method psychopath, a little bit like a method actor, then you are going to have perhaps the kind of personality combination in a given context to predispose you to success, to give you quite an advantage. So just like height, weight or IQ, all those personality characteristics that make up the psychopathic personality profile, they're all on a continuum. They're all on a kind of a mixing desk slider, and we're all on there some way between minimum and maximum. And it just depends the combination of them that you have turned up high and turned down low at any given time.
Now, you actually subjected yourself to something called, or at least you call it, a psychopath makeover. Can you tell me about that experience?
Seeing that I was writing a book on psychopaths, I wanted to see if I could turn myself into one. You'll be glad to know it's worn off. Wore off quite a while ago.
I'm relieved. Thanks for
telling
us.
Some of my friends would wonder about that. But what I did was, I have a friend of mine who's a Special Forces, an ex-Special Forces sergeant back in the UK. I've measured him, and he's pretty high, as you would expect. Actually, a lot of Special Forces guys are pretty high on the psychopathic spectrum. He's pretty ruthless. He's pretty fearless. He's mentally tough. He's very focused, all of those kinds of things. I set up a test of cool in my lab. I wanted to see if I was cooler than my friend. So the way it worked was like this. First of all, we sat down in front of a screen and we were wired up to various electrophysiological measures, heart rate, galvanic skin response, EEG, stuff like that. And we were watching a very quiet, meditative scene, wired up in these chairs to this equipment, just to get our baseline measures. And then at an undisclosed moment, that scene changed to a scene of carnage, pretty nauseating, noxious, horrific images. And they were really, really bad scenes of dismemberment and really, really pretty bad stuff. And it was very strange because as we were both waiting for the scene to change, both my physiological readings and those of my Special Forces friend were both higher, obviously, than our baseline levels. But actually, when all the scene changed and the carnage and the mayhem, and I should add, it was also accompanied by white noise and blaring klaxons and sirens. When all that, we were confronted with it, my physiological readings continued to go up, but my friend's reading started to go down. Now, that's really spooky. It was almost like in the heat of battle, he thought, this is no big deal. I can handle this. This is nothing. Now, then I underwent what you rightly described as a psychopath makeover. Now, there's a technique out there called TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation, which is a way of stimulating, turning up or down various areas of the cerebral cortex, which is the kind of the top layer of the brain, the newest layer. And that, the cerebral cortex has projections to deeper core brain structures, such as the emotion areas. So we can emulate, we can mimic the brain state of the psychopath by turning various areas of the brain up or down. So using this TMS, this transcranial magnetic stimulation, which pulses high frequency electromagnetic pulses to these specially selected areas of the brain, we can turn these areas up or down. So I had my, it was the first time anyone had done it, Steve, and it was very scary. I did feel a difference.
What changed for you?
Well, I'll tell you what changed. First of all, in order to find the correct coordinates of the emotion areas of my brain, my colleague actually started stimulating the somatosensory cortex responsible for the movement of the little finger in my right hand. And the spookiest thing of all, possibly, was just sitting there and just suddenly feeling the little finger of my right hand moving uncontrollably because he was pulsing this electromagnetic field into that area of the brain. Once he'd got those coordinates, he could then kind of map out the important areas of the brain that we were targeting. After about 10 or so minutes, Steve, the only way I can describe it, mate, it felt like I'd had about half a bottle of wine or a few shots of electromagnetic Jack Daniels.
So you basically became desensitized to the kinds of violent images that you'd been looking at.
I did indeed. I became very relaxed. I really couldn't care too much about, you know, general everyday concerns. Actually, when I was subjected to the images the second time round to see if I could be cooler than my friend with a psychopath makeover, it was all filmed. And I'm actually on camera as saying, you know, the guy before me, in other words, me without the psychopath makeover, found these images very disturbing. But this time round, I'm finding it very hard to suppress a smile. And not only that, but all the electrophysiological responses that went along with that corroborated my sentiment. All my readings went down by about two-thirds compared to what they were before. I still wasn't cooler than my friend, but I certainly was reduced on my disgust response, on my anxiety response, those kinds of natural physiological responses that I had. And it really did. You did feel different.
One final question. You call your book The Wisdom of Psychopaths. Do the rest of us who don't think of ourselves as psychopaths in any particular way, do we have something to learn from this kind of research you've been talking about of these traits of psychopaths?
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. Psychopaths have a conglomeration of very positive traits that they use in everyday life. I mean, psychopaths are assertive. Psychopaths don't procrastinate. Psychopaths focus on the positives of situations. They don't take things personally. They don't beat themselves up when things go wrong. They don't overly criticize themselves. And of course, they're very cool under pressure. So these are everyday characteristics that we can use in our lives, not just at work, but also when we're with our friends, when we're with our family. You know, we could all do perhaps with turning a few of those dials up a little bit higher to the right. One example I always give is imagine if you're at work and you've been thinking about putting in for a raise. You know, like a lot of people are scared of putting in for a raise, asking their boss for a raise because they're scared of not getting it. They're scared of what their boss might think of them if they don't get it. They're scared of the consequences. Well, psychopath up. You know, don't focus on the negatives. Focus on the positives. Focus on the reward of getting it. Be confident and go for it. You're way more likely to get these kinds of things if you're confident, if you're positive, if you focus on the rewards rather than being negative and a little bit scared of these kinds of situations.
Okay, there's a little bit of wisdom to take away. Psychopath up. I'll remember that. Thanks, Kevin.
Not at all. Thanks, Steve. It's a real pleasure, mate.
Kevin Dutton's the author of The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success. He spoke with Steve Paulson. So, do you think tapping your inner psychopath could improve your life? Join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, on our website, ttbook.org.